Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you see the importance of just stopping and fixing what's wrong? That's important. That's a life lesson for you right there. If we'd have continued with that one, I heard it the first time. He looked up at me. He hit it the second time, and he's like, no. Folks, in our own lives, we know when there's a sour note. We know when we're heading the wrong direction. I encourage you to put the brakes on and stop. Don't go any further. Oh, Pastor, I'm only 1 degree off. You're going across the ocean. You're aiming for Spain and you're going to hit England. You're that far off. No, it's just a little bit over here, but in the long run, you are way off. I know too many believers who go around. One of the things they say is, I don't need to go to church. I know somebody near and dear to me who's saying that. There's not a whole lot of point in me going because they don't go that often. And they said, I don't need to go. Well, now they're goofy because they're picking every preacher apart. We're all goofy. You got to understand that. Sometimes we miss it. I'm talking about the preachers, but y'all jumped in on yourselves, so hallelujah. You've been around me long enough. But you see what I'm saying? You stop and you fix yourself. If you don't agree with something I say, you don't have to. That's the great thing about this country. I try to only speak what God is saying, but I ain't gonna lie, from time to time, maybe a personal opinion slides in. Well, Pastor, you should never preach your personal opinion. Well, I can show you in a couple places Paul did. Short hair, women not teaching. Come on. I can promise you Jesus didn't have the Roman haircut. He was a bit of a rebel against the religious entities of his day. He wasn't necessarily against, well, he wasn't for Rome, let's just put it that way. He knew what they were going to do. But we stop and we fix what's wrong. Hallelujah. And you know what? And sometimes things don't go your way, do they? You got things all planned out how you're going. You get your little routine and something happens. Like the battery on the office door locks you out and the keys are inside. Did you know that? Yeah. How long has it been acting like that? I had actually just come over here to get a battery to take it back and put it in. And hey, we can't get in. It had totally locked us out. We tried taking the door apart. I'll tell you right now, praise God, nobody is going through that door. Where's Rob? Are they, Rob? We had pry bars. We almost had the lock pick. Finally, I just went and pushed the air conditioner out of the window and crawled through the window. It's now shut and locked, and it will be in better next year if we don't have the big system in. But praise God, you just adjust and go on and praise him anyway, right? Hallelujah, hallah. Well, okay, yeah, I'm going to bless the tithe and offering real quick so that these guys can sit down and then I'll share everything with everybody. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord God, that you sit on the throne. You possess the throne and there is no one like you. There is no one who can overthrow you. So, Father, today we present to you today our tithes and our offerings. They represent our blood, sweat, and sometimes tears. Father, I bless them. Bless the giver right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated for a moment. Just 1 minute. 1 minute, buddy, okay? I love you. Can I go play now, Dad? You know, I'm still always amazed at how many churches the kids are always. I'm not saying we let kids be wild hooligans, but kids are kids. You know, I remember my mom and dad got saved. My brother didn't know squat. He was 3 years old. Was he three? He might have only been two. He wasn't very old. And you try to get a 2 to 3 year old to sit still, who's never had to sit in a room where people sit dead. I mean, there's no life sometimes. And I was about ready to say something when I walked in here at the end of the first practice song, and it's like, is this a mausoleum? It's awful quiet in here. But, you know, that, and that's, it was just so hard for him to adjust. And because of how strict everybody had to be back then, they thought that you beat your child into submission, he won't go to church today. It's sad. But, you know, people want to know why your children don't. First off, they see hypocrisy at home and how you treat them in church. Listen, they're kids. If they want to sing, they want to shout, they want to dance, and if they want to play with their little trucks in the aisles, that's fine. So as long as they don't get hurt or cause big disruptions, I don't really care. If you can't shout louder than a 2 or 3 year old singing as a group, folks, we ain't putting out. And the beatings will continue until morale improves. No. Phil's volunteering, by the way. All right, Miss Vicky has some information she wants to share real quick. Yeah, amen.
And that's really pretty much it. Thank you.
So you. Yes.
You said there's a sign up sheet for working.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The volunteer sheet is on the table up against this wall between the two pictures. Okay? Just fill out when you think you might be able to come. If you can't come that day, no big deal. I've got girls that stay with me the whole week.
Amen.
Love every second of it.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yep. Yep. All right. And we do have something else we want to do real quick. Those of you that don't really have a chance to talk to Miss Nancy back there, she doesn't get to come to church all the time regularly due to work schedules, but there was one thing she wanted to do a while back, and we've been, we lost the first one, and so we had to make up another one. But if Miss Cindy, would you bring your mother up here? Miss Nancy wanted to become a member. So we worked with her to get her through the course and everything, and we've just been waiting for work schedules to work out, and praise God, she's here, and we found the certificate. So, all right, praise God. Now, this is one of those days I get to give you a hug.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man. Oh, she's going to give you a hug, too. I'll lay that right there for you.
Okay.
God bless you. All right. Yes, amen. Amen. All right. Hey, Grayson, what time is it? What time is it? Is it time to play? All right. Super kids are dismissed. He's looking at me. What? What? Don't talk to me. That's kind of what I did when the teachers would call on me in school. What? Did you tell I wasn't paying attention? Is that what happens, teachers? You can see who's zoned out already. So you automatically call on them. Oh, praise God. Well, today we're going to kind of continue in the same vein we were talking last week. Last week we were talking, remember, about in the book of Revelation about the rise of the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. Now, I do want to let you know on that, because I didn't really carry that completely out into fruition. on is that there will indeed be one individual that will rise up to oversee the whole thing. Okay, there will be one person who assumes power, whether it's in legal means or they assume it through military coups or whatever. Or they're just happily voted in by silly people. But so anyhow, there will indeed be one person. We're not going to get too much more today on that. There was something I was reading this morning, and I started reading about the Scarlet Woman on the seven-headed beast and all that. We're going to talk about that, just not today. There's some, like I said, this is one of those things. I may have a theory that works a little different than the traditional dispensational translation of it. Just because we're 2,000 years on this side of this vision, and we've already seen some of the things that they thought were going to happen be destroyed. So whether or not we've seen a completion of that or not, I also have a theory that, again, I will tell you, it is my theory. Most people who are telling prophecy interpretations, a lot of them are indeed theories, because, you know, when Angela and I were talking, John had no idea of what was to come. He was being here. You know, y'all ever see a picture of the Isle of Patmos? It's nothing but rocks, folks. And they didn't give him food. He had a servant with him. And John, I've actually seen on these programs where they go following where, like, John went. And Patmos was just his big pile of rocks. And it was for prisoners. And they sent him out there to die. And when they came through and John was still alive, they said, maybe we ought to send you back. You've paid your time. So he went back and he died as an old man. But John saw this revelation and things were just blowing his mind. I mean, some of it, even today on this side of it, I'm trying to wrap my mind around certain things. How would I explain what John saw? And like I said, I don't know. Some of this stuff he may have saw right up. He may have seen a woman sitting on a seven-headed beast with 10 horns with a name written on her, you know. Or did he see something else? He said, this is the best way I can describe this. You know, so many people try to ask me, Pastor, what about this? You know, and I'm trying to explain it. And I said, here, let me explain it to you this way. And I break it down to something they know. And, oh, hey, I get it. But one of the things I wanted to look at real quick shows up after the end of that. And you're just going to have to kind of wing it there, Jason, if you can. But it is in Revelation. I lost my green ribbon. There it is. Revelation 19. And we're just going to go to verse 6. We'll start there. It never hurts to read a few more scriptures, now does it? It said, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, this is what we believe. We are the bride. Now, here's some things. It says, she has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. See, I taught you a couple weeks ago in a message I entitled, God Knows My Heart. You're not going to be judged on the intents of your heart. You're going to be judged on what you did or did not do. So many people, well, God knows my heart. I'm just going to do this. God knows my heart, brother. I don't care. He's going to judge you by what you're doing. Well, I meant to give to the poor, brother. Well, give to the poor. Well, it's too late. It's never too late. There's poor around all the time. Do we not believe the words of Jesus? Isn't he the one that said, the poor you will always have? There will always be an opportune time. Because let me tell you something, folks. If you miss the opportunity when God tells you to do something, God has to move on somebody else to do that, and you just lost the blessing. That's how that works. God put you there to do that, to bless you. Oh, I don't see what the blessing is. I just don't get it. You got to start listening and you got to be obedient. When God tells you to do something, you do it. In Matthew, I believe it's 21, Jesus told a parable of two sons. The father went to the oldest. He said, son, I want you to go to this field and I want you to start picking the crop. The boy said, no, I got other things I got to do today. And he went about his own merry way. He went to the next son and he said, son, I want you to go to this field and I want you to start picking this crop. The son said, right away, dad, I'm on it. You can count on me. In the end, a little bit later, the older ones thought, you know what? That was wrong of me to do that. And he went and he did what he told his father he wouldn't do. And the younger one who said, yes, dad, I'll be on it, went off and did something else and totally forgot it. And Jesus said, which one of these did the will of his father? Was it the one who said by the intent of his heart that I'm going to do it for you, dad? Or was it the one that said no because he really didn't want to do it? Do you know you're allowed to tell God that? You're allowed to tell God no. I ain't saying it's the smartest thing you'll ever do. And if you tell God no, I hope to God that you come to your senses like this older son did and said, why did I do that? That was wrong of me. I had better go do what I told him I wouldn't do. Well, it ain't fair. Oh, get over the fair schmear stuff. Nothing is fair. God created you equal in the beginning. How you see yourself in the end is a totally different deal. You can start seeing yourself better than you thought you was and start improving on yourself, or you can keep seeing yourself as a bottom dweller and stay there. And people are going to try to help you up, but you're never going to get up until you stand up, until you make up your mind. I put my hand out to help people up, and if they won't reach up and help stand up, I'm not rolling down in the mud and the mire with you and trying to get you out of it. Because I will wear myself out and I will fail at both missions, yours and mine. And so here we're reading where the bride is coming in to be the bridegroom, but she's dressed in her acts. Now, having said that, let me ask you this. What is your gown going to look like? Like you've been rolling with the pigs? Or is it going to be fine linen clothed in white? Because your acts were what Jesus separated the sheep and the goats with. He said you didn't help. Listen, I don't know if I mentioned this when I talked about the separation of the sheep and goats. When he said, I was a prisoner. I was sick. I was naked. I was hungry. All these things can all be translated into the spiritual as well. Not saying we look away from the physical. Okay? That's why when we give to a ministry that is helping that, we don't just give to the ones that, hey, we're just going to take food and just throw it off the truck. I want you to get your can off the back of that truck, get down. I want you to get in with the people. When you're with people who haven't showered in probably a year, I will know it. Because you will smell like them when you come out of it. We were talking about Mother Teresa this morning. That woman, oh man, I could not. She didn't have to do what she did. But she chose to stay in India. She chose to live among the poor. She made a decision because she knew if she didn't, nobody else who loved them would. There wasn't going to be anybody who loved them like she could. And so she made a decision to stay. Do I believe when that woman passed away that she opened her eyes and was standing before Jesus Christ? Oh, yes. Now, I don't believe every Catholic's going, just so you know, because the Catholic Church does not actually teach salvation. You go through catechism. You go through their course, you're saved. That's not what your Bible says. Your Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. And believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. Okay? I believe by the woman's actions. Actions will push everything. They will prove whether you're a Christian or not. Well, Pastor, I still got a bit of a temper. Yeah, well, welcome to the club. Overcome it. Keep putting it down. Keep crucifying that thing. And when, like I said, when God tells you to bless somebody, do something, you move, you act upon it. You do that and watch what God does. Because those are the things he's going to judge us by. Well, I was a prisoner. Well, Pastor, how did you help prison? I've gone to the jail, prison a couple times. And it's not that I didn't see any need. There's need in prisons. But I know plenty of people who have prison ministries. And as a pastor, that is not what God has called me to. Because I know people. Listen, I personally know pastors who have taken this literally in their lives. They go to prison ministry before church on Sunday. Then they come minister to their congregations on Sunday. And then they go elsewhere to preach throughout the week. And the problem is when you keep going away and you're called to be a pastor, you're not there to help your sheep. Because let me tell you something. Nobody loves the sheep better than the shepherd. A hireling, somebody, if I go somewhere, I'm kind of picky. That's why I usually have somebody within our ranks here to cover for me. It's because I'm picky about who's coming in and feeding you. People here know the vein, know the type of grass that the pasture we're in at the time. They know what to feed you. And somebody else that comes from a totally different thing, they may not even believe in the power of the Holy Spirit or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hello, if you don't believe that, why are you wanting to preach in this church? Because we speak in tongues. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the real power of the Holy Spirit. Let me make sure I emphasize that. Not the phony stuff that keeps making its way around from time to time. But the real power of the Holy Spirit. Where you don't have to say a word and the sinner repents. That's the power of God. It is not our time yet. You remember the demons that came up to Jesus? The demoniacs, they came up and the demons screamed out, "It is not our time. Why have you come to torment us?" He didn't say anything to them. He just showed up. They came to him. Now, so many people today, we're caught up in everything else. We're caught up in living lives so that the world will approve us. If you're trying to live a life that the world approves of, give it up. They aren't going to like your lifestyle. They're going to hate you because you're a Christian. You can be the best person on the planet, and because you claim Christ, they will hate you. Why? Because as Jesus said, the Antichrist is here now. As long as the spirit of Antichrist is in, they're going to hate you. They know your car's sitting out here in this parking lot. Give it up. Just soak it up. One of the charges Jesus brought against the churches in Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 18. This is the Laodiceans, the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, the church that looked like it was on fire, but really their actions were dead. And Jesus said, "I counsel you to buy gold, to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed." To buy garments. He said, take whatever you have. You're going to have to buy gold. Stop and think about it. He said, you're to buy gold from me. In Isaiah 55, prophecy came out. He said, for those of you without money, buy from me bread. Buy from me wine. What's he talking about? Exchange your life for this. Do the good works. Do the things that will convict you should we be around when the persecutions come. Because, and listen, I'm going to tell you all right now, the first thing you need to do is settle it in your heart. I'm not denying Christ. Well, we're going to kill your family. Tell you what, we'll stand right here together and kill us all. I know that sounds sick, doesn't it? Do you know how many Christian families have had to say that? Do you know it wasn't just the dads that they threw in with the lions in Roman times? It was families, children too. Do you know that the Muslims don't just kill the adult men? They kill the children too. They blow up the schools. They don't care. It's because you're a Christian. So you have to settle in here. Am I really willing to die? The girl at Columbine. Do you serve God? She had a moment to save her life. She said yes. She would not deny him. And they killed her. Would you? Could you? Oh, but Pastor, I love my life. I kind of enjoy breathing too. But this ain't all there is to it. Those boys, when they turned and killed themselves, I believe, if I remember the facts right, I think they ended up committing suicide themselves before the cops got in. They went to hell. That girl was welcomed home. There's been so many times I've heard of people whose families, people were killed in their families. And I'll be honest with you, man, I would have a hard time with it. A really hard time with it. Y'all know me about my family. Don't touch them if you want to stay whole. In one piece. Yeah, we won't go there. My wife's up here. Don't go there. Don't go there. But I know people who have loved the murderer and led them to the Lord. And just before I came up here, I was looking at some of the pictures on there. And there's one up there with a little girl, and I believe they're in Brazil is where they're at. It was in South America. She's got the red. She's in water up to here carrying a box. Y'all think we got it rough? They got piranha. They got all kinds of funky things in those waters down there. I'm like, why does anybody live in South America? Man, you got snakes 30 feet long. Anyhow, she's carrying a box, but if you read the captions underneath it, and there's a boat, and it says 2012, and it gives the guy's name Myosin or something like that. And I believe he's the one that there was a movie made on a couple years ago about a missionary who was in South America. And he was a tribal member, and he killed the missionary. Okay? He is in one of those boats delivering gifts for OCC. He became a Christian. And I don't remember the whole story, so I'm not going to try to butcher it up. It was actually pretty neat when you... tip of the spear. Folks, I'm just telling you, so many people are living their lives wrapped around what people think, wrapped about, well, Pastor, you know, we need to be accepting. Listen, I love all people. I'm refusing to accept the sin and the garbage that's coming in with it. I'm going to challenge y'all all this week. Y'all want to know where to read? Start and... This would be the only, well, a few times I tell you to go to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 2 and read all the way to chapter 4. Jesus is talking to the churches. There were seven main churches at that time that he's speaking. Just so you know, there were dozens more. You know why? Because they didn't gather in buildings like this. They gathered in homes, home groups primarily, because they were being hunted down and killed. If I'm going to hunt something down, I'm going to see where they're feeding. That's usually what I do when deer come around. I find some food. And if there ain't no food, I provide it. Read those. I want you to see. Several of them have one thing in common. They listened to the Nicolaitans. Nicholas was an apostle. He was a false apostle. He preached a little bit of Jesus, but he taught that sexual impurity was okay. Sexual immorality was okay. Jesus addressed this several times. He said, it is not okay. As a matter of fact, he held them in judgment against that. So if you want to know why I'm on this all the time, because Jesus is seeing it and addressing it. And we're saying, oh, it's okay, just whatever. I know folks who are in churches and they are either lesbians or gays. They are attending church. Do they believe in Jesus? I believe they do. But what's not being dealt with is the sin. Well, that's just an obvious one, Pastor. Well, duh, if I can see it. So those are the things we have to clean up. The church has to stand its ground on this. Well, you're hate mongers. I am not a hate monger. It's just a way for somebody to get somebody else on their hook. Because we don't like hate mongers, do we? Even in the body of Christ, we do not like hate mongers. You want to come in here and you want to be racist? There's the door. Don't come back until you're ready to repent. That's all there is to it. I got black people in my life that I trust a whole lot further than some of the whites. That's just all there is to it. You know, part of the reason why? I had to trust them with my life. That's when you start finding out who your friends are. The days we live in, folks, we're building up. We're going to see things start to change so fast. I don't know what's in store for the United States specifically. Well, the United States is going to avoid all this. No, there's no way we can avoid, first off, some judgment for our actions. We are guilty on some of this stuff. Anybody who's ever been in the military knows we're guilty of a few of the things they said we've done. We deny it, but we're guilty. We're going to start seeing the book of Revelation. Like I said, I don't think it's in such a way that you can just throw it into a movie and bop, 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 and here we got it. I think there's a lot of truth in what these movies have brought out, but I don't think it's going to be. Because, to be honest with you, who in their right mind, you know the world knows about 666, right? Y'all know that, right? The world already knows about 666. They know about the mark of the beast. So who in their right mind is going to elect somebody or push for somebody who's going to do that? Because it's not going to be the agenda. They're one, they're going to be blinded. Two, it's not going to be the agenda they're going to run on. And I'm going to probably bust your bubbles and say, it's going to be some of the people of God who said, I like that. I like what that person is saying. Well, just because you may like it, it may be the thing that bites us. Because it is the beast that ultimately brings in the false prophet who really makes things bad for us, for people on earth. It's that person. Well, Pastor, I'm just still not for sure. You know, I'm just believing. Listen, I haven't even really gotten into what we call the rapture. I mean, I sure would love to go before all this garbage hits the fan. I ain't going to lie. You know, sometimes you see something like if you got a big glob of goop hanging off your ceiling fan that you forgot about for months, maybe a year. And you're just like, man, I just hope I'm not home when that thing falls. That's kind of what I'm hoping I'm not here when that thing comes down. You know, the hilarious part is you never notice it until it's a big glop hanging off. It's like, how did I miss that? That's the way I think things are going to happen. We're just going to be, oh, here it is. Here we are. We're in this situation. Things are going to happen. You're not going to stop them. But here's what I want to encourage you still, folks. You still have to vote. You still have to make the right decisions based on your beliefs. Do not let me, I'm just telling you to vote. Legally, I cannot tell you how to vote. Okay? I know, like I said, I've got some people I've talked to. They said, I'm going to have to just vote for the lesser of the two evils. I do not believe in killing babies. Listen, I don't care. There's no financial, none. No financial gain good enough to murder a baby. And if you are sitting in here today or on listening online or whatever, and you believe that, you either change or again, there's the door. I will not have blood of an innocent baby on my hands because you want a little bit of money in your pocket. You know, one thing I found, and I keep seeing this meme show up. Why does it cost $50,000 to adopt a baby, but $400 to kill one? Yeah, there's something wrong. Politicians. That's what's wrong. By the way, you know, we keep putting this on there. Well, make Congress, you know, their salaries and all that stuff. They ain't ever going to vote for that. Come on. It's done. Listen, seriously. You give me an entitlement, do you think I'm going to voluntarily give it away? They ain't going to do that. So we're looking at things that are going to start taking place. But more importantly, what we need to do is Jesus in each one of these churches, he said, to him who has an ear, let him hear what I say to the church. And he, to him who overcomes. Folks, we can overcome. I do not believe that one church in particular is represented here. I believe this is seven things that the church itself needs to police itself on. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That's word. That's the Bible. Jesus said it. One of the leadership traits that the Marine Corps started making leaders memorize was know yourself and seek self-improvement. I know myself. Is there anybody that knows you better than you? Nobody other than God. I mean, your spouse can probably pinpoint what you're going to say, what you're going to think. That just happens. She just looks at me, stop it. What? Your spouse can come close, but nobody knows you better than what you really do. You know when you failed and you kept it a secret. So make adjustments. Just like I said this morning, you know, did it affect one bit of that song for him to stop everybody, make a quick adjustment, and start? I'm going to tell you right now, I think it was actually Wilder. Y'all went nuts. I'm standing back here. I'm like, man, this is like waiting for the mosh pit to start up. It didn't affect it one bit. Well, if I stop and I make the adjustments, the anointing's going to fall. It's going to fall off of me and I'm not going to have it. So what, you'd rather drag the anointing through the poo you're about to walk through and waller in? That's God, hallelujah. I smell like pig, but it's God. No, it isn't. Make the adjustment. You know yourself. Like I said, I told you before, I've had so many people, oh, brother, just pray for me. My blood sugar, it's just all over the place. They're diabetic. My blood pressure. I said, you're eating right. Oh, yeah, I don't drink any pop. I don't drink, eat any of this. I don't do this and this. And I'd drive by McDonald's and their car sitting in. I'd see them in the car. They were the one driving. They were the only one in the car. A gallon of pop, French fries, and a nasty burger. And you wonder why your blood sugar's going, whoo! You have to be honest. I'm just going to be brutally honest. Oh, get over that brutally honest garbage. Honest is honest. That's why I tell you folks, if I'm standing back there, one thing you need to be careful of, if you go back there and you say something, you got to remember, the anointing is still, it's kind of in that, I don't get up here and speak on my own abilities. So it's the Holy Ghost. And there's been a couple times the Holy Spirit, don't think just because you said something really stupid and got away with it, it's because the Holy Ghost went, seal the lips, Art. Don't sink the ship. I know you've got that 16-inch barrel aimed right down at their bow, and you're going to sink it. You know what he tells me to do? Get up here and deal with it. So if you felt like I just dealt with you on something, I did. You're welcome. All right. We are looking to have our garments clean. We do that through the blood of Christ. But the Bible says in Revelation that the wedding veil, the wedding dress, is fine linens that is made up of our righteous acts. Folks, that is the little things. Well, God, you know, God hasn't called me to go overseas to do this or do that. Yeah, me neither. You know what God's called me to do? Give up my life, what I want to do, because I hate the cold, to come back to a state that has a tendency to go 30 below, although I didn't really care for hurricanes either, to be honest with you. And the deer are tiny down there. Yeah, you got to use dogs to hunt them. And give up my life and what I want to do, come back here, submit to his will, and do this. And I'm going to tell you right now, where my joy is right here, doing this. Well, you know, Pastor, that's still a great thing. Well, I consider it a great thing, but you know what? Helping the elderly is a great thing. Feeding the poor, it's a great thing. Do you realize we're the ding-dongs that put degrees on stuff? Well, you know, this sin isn't as bad as this sin. Sin is sin. That's all there is to it. We want to get stupid. Well, no, Pastor, there's degrees of sin. No, sin is sin. All sin is sin. You know, because seriously, what did Adam and Eve do? They took a bite, tradition holds, of an apple. They took a bite of an apple. That's what they did. Just because they were told not to. Well, anybody in here, is there anybody righteous enough to raise their hand and say, you never did something your parents told you not to? Typically, when your parents told you not to, wasn't that the sign? Do it. Don't jump off the roof. I hadn't thought about that before, but... Right. It wasn't a great sin. But yet, you know what it did? It drove God away from man. Because sin is sin. Whether it's lying, cheating, stealing, whether it's any of those, sin is sin. Man is the one who decided to put degrees on it. And even God said, you know, we got to kind of thwart some things. If you're going to take life, this is how sacred God felt life was. It was an eye for an eye. But God gave them a little bit of a mercy. Do you know that today's government didn't think of sanctuary cities? God did. But it wasn't. Here's the deal. If you were caught outside of that sanctuary city, the quote-unquote angel of death was to kill you. If you were a murderer. There were certain cities you could reside in. If you came outside the city walls and they knew you were in there, I'm promising you, they were waiting for you. Because you're a murderer. You took a life, and life is valuable. The angel of death was to kill you. God only did that for us to understand how valuable life is. And there are churches today, folks, who think abortion is okay. I'm sorry, you are not Christian. You missed the point. Don't tell me how much you love God. Oh, it's a woman's body. Yeah, but the baby's not. That baby has different DNA. And the scary part is the many of the women who are raped that they throw up first in our face, they keep the babies. Not for certain why I'm harping on abortion today, but oh well. Because I'm sick and tired of politicians. I'm sick and tired of preachers. I'm sick and tired of random Christians on the street. Oh, brother, I love Jesus. Now, it's a woman's right. It was a woman's right to shut her legs. If she's raped, it's a woman's right for her brother, her father, her dad, or whoever to go beat the daylights out of them. Oh, well, you sound like... I'm not... Listen. That's how bad that stuff aggravates me. I do not condone vigilante justice. There was a time in life I was all for it. Obviously, that showed through. But you cannot go out and do that. But I'm telling you right now, that's what a father wants to do. That's exactly what a father wants to do. And politicians ignore it. Politicians say, oh, it's not that important. And then we spend the rest of the time doing the blame game. Well, if you didn't dress like this, listen, do you know the United States is hypersexualized? And we wear the most clothes? They don't have this problem in Brazil along the river. Man, they run around half naked, well, mostly naked. What they call underwear, we call a string. And they don't have the things. You know why? A rapist gets killed in their societies. You don't do that. You deal with it. We turn a blind eye. Well, we know that it's happening. I know in the Amish community of one family that the father was raping the daughter. The wife knew it. All the children knew it. They wouldn't do anything about it. The elders of his church knew it. They wouldn't do anything about it. Do you know how it got dealt with? An Englishman found out about it and called the cops. I believe he's in Marion. They put him in prison. But nobody was going to do anything about it. It's not my business. The girl couldn't say anything. And if she did, she was beaten for it. That's religion for you, folks. I just need you to understand that. We're living in such a time, we protect our stinking religion. And I say stinking religion, not a relationship with Christ. Religion drives man away. Jesus had to take and follow the law. But I promise you, he is not about us practicing Judaism today. If he is, he'd have said, you know, make sure you're still getting circumcised. Make sure this is still happening. Da, 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 da. He showed Paul, it all means nothing. Everybody today is worried about, well, this is the festival of tents. This is the Purim. This is. Yeah, that's great. You want to live in the Old Testament, knock yourself out. And I realize certain things will probably fall on those days. But the truth of the matter is, don't live your life according to them. God didn't want that garbage for us. He wanted us free from the garbage. All that stuff, you know, people get religious. We're coming up. We'll see a little influx in Thanksgiving. Typically, Christmas, Easter, we'll see an influx. Where you been? You don't know how many times I wanted to say that. Oh, hey, yeah, where you been? You know, we're here 52 weeks a year. We preach, we get together, we have a good time. People get religious. They don't serve God any other time. Just saying. I got way away from... I personally... want all of us. Because listen, he told that church, he told the church Laodicea that your nakedness, in other words, you have nothing. At this point in your life, he was saying, you have to exchange your life and take some of my righteousness and cover yourself because you have none. I want my deeds because of Christ to be what covers me. Not a pity covering. Not one of those, I got in by the skin of my teeth. I don't know about y'all, but just sliding in, this ain't a baseball game. I don't want to be sliding in with that ball coming in right over top of my head, waiting for the dust to clear and whether the umpire actually saw it or not. I want to barrel over top of the catcher and be standing there on home plate when the ball finally comes in and say, I didn't need your pity. And I'm not, and that pretty much is pity. He said, I know you believe in me, but you didn't believe anything I said. You didn't put into work. If we spend our lives doing good, folks, what, this will be my first closing. What did God tell Cain? If you do good, will it not be well with you? He was getting angry at his brother. He was jealous. If you do good, will it not be well with you? Yeah. Cain couldn't overcome it. He let his anger boil over. And instead, he got marked. I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be one of those that walks up and he says, well done. I know who you are. Your work spoke. You know why? And I want this for all of you. And you need to understand, if one of us leads somebody to the Lord, it's because collectively we have all encouraged each other. Okay? That's what the great thing is. We lead, somebody comes to the Lord in this church. Brother and sister, you got, I didn't get, I'm not the only one. We all, we're here because of you. Trust me, if you weren't here, I'd be preaching to empty seats this morning without lights because I couldn't pay the electric bill. Wouldn't be long and wouldn't have a building. So yeah. But I want people in front to say, well, you know what? There was that church in Mount Gilead. I got to go one time, and the people loved me. I want to tell you something, folks. I never get sick and tired of hearing visitors come and hear them say, I have never felt such love. That's just all there is to it. I've been in churches where you could slide in, slide out, and nobody knew. Now, if you do that on purpose, it's your fault. Because I could do it. I just want to get in and get out. Nobody knows my name. I've been there. God would always send somebody to catch me at the door, though. God, can't you see I'm trying to run away? You're not making this easy. I hope that when we're all standing waiting for our judgment, that when we get up there, God says, well, you got the blood of Christ and your work has spoke for you the last 150 people. Well, Pastor, I want more. Oh, so do I. But if just one of them come, I'm satisfied. I'll do what I have to do. But if it's only for one, the Bible says Jesus would have died for just one. Which is the parable of the lost sheep for one. That's what we need to be. Oh, Pastor, we need Colosseums filled. That's great. You know why I quit participating in Billy Graham Crusades? Do you know who was in them? Christians. We participated in Bill Glass. There were a few people got saved. Were you part of the team? Okay. I was on the prayer team. Yeah, you were. Yeah, those you might not remember. Some of you weren't even born. Bill Glass was a Cleveland Brown football player, became an evangelist, and he came to Morrow County. And we, some of us in here, served on the prayer team that led people to the Lord. And there was, I'm guessing, maybe about 50 people total that really got saved that I can remember. It wasn't many, but it was worth it. The problem with, and the room was packed. It was a gymnasium. It was at Highland. That gymnasium was packed. And only 50 people got saved. That tells me that, I don't remember how many that gym held, but we had the floor and the bleachers. That everybody else was already saved. Listen, if all we're doing is attracting the people that are saved, we're missing the point. You got to get out there. If you got to get on a hog and ride down the road, pull over and start talking to somebody, don't be afraid to talk to them about, I'm telling you, bikers, they love to talk about their bikes. They will tell you the most mundane facts that you don't want to know. And if you're not a gearhead, displacement's not going to mean a hill of beans to you. But what I'm finding is today, half of them don't even know how to change oil on them, so don't worry too much. Or somebody's truck. It opens doors. I had a milkshake opened a door. Do you get it? Anything. You just got to be willing to open your mouth. Well, I don't want to butt in people's conversations. Do you know how many people don't really care? You're the only one who cares. And if they're talking loud enough for you to hear them, they want you to hear. I'm a part of your conversation now. By the way, you're on the other side of the restaurant. Well, I don't know about this. Hey, I do. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You just got your door. You got your opportunity. You can't be afraid to take it. Life's too short. Life's way too short. You never know. God will open the door. You might actually lead the next Billy Graham to the Lord. You don't know. All right, let's stand. We can't spend our lives in fear. Well, they're gonna kill us, Pastor. Yeah, you fear death. If they kill us, they kill us. So what? Jesus said it's better to fear him who can kill your soul and damn it to hell than the one who can just kill your body. When you overcome that, folks, I'm not saying you got to get morbid and sick in the head. So many people do. They just go, whoo, over the top. That reminded me of, I've taken to watching the show Young Sheldon. I actually love it because I like the Big Bang, even though they deny God, but God always came up. And even on his last one, he addressed God. He always wrote a letter at the end of them. He addressed God in it, even though he's a liberal. And he had a liberal prayer for the elections. Like, you guys don't get it yet, do you? But anyhow, this particular one, his mother's church was sponsoring. They called it Hell House. Kind of like Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. It's thing supposed to be what hell. But this one addressed seven deadly sins. And his mom was put in charge of it. She got the drama teacher at the school to help out. He overtook it. By the way, religion changed the name to Heck House. I'm like, isn't that religion? That's actually the appropriate phrase. But there was a couple of them where they were showing he wanted to get real graphic. And I remember a church that actually did this. And they just, anger, guy got stabbed and blood went spurting everywhere. A church in North Carolina did that, except with somebody blowing their brains out. And they used hamburger and threw it up against the window. You're leading people to Jesus that way? I realize it's Halloween time and all that and you're trying to work on the fear thing. But seriously, you're a church. Straighten this up. But in the end, they just wanted to, it was about money for their pastor. You should see the offering. It's all he could talk about. The offering. And his mama was like, but what about the souls? What about the souls? Oh, we don't have any soul. Nobody got saved. She's like, I know, I've been here. She was in the room where she had prayed with them to lead them to the Lord. And she's like, what about the souls? He's like, oh, you should see the offering, the money. You ought to see all the money. It's been bigger than ever. And her oldest son had found the school, for lack of a better word, the school slut. And they were going back to her house. She wanted to stop and see what this was about. And she actually was standing in the one about lust. And somebody started talking about how she felt. She broke down crying. And she went running, just trying to find a way out. And she ran into that room and told her, said, I don't want to live this life anymore. Now, folks, I want you to understand, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is leading people to the Lord. Granted, their ways may be a bit extreme on there, but she loved that girl and led her to the Lord. And we had to laugh at this, because if you, those of you who have watched those shows know that I'm talking, they do not acknowledge God, usually in a good light. But this one show, when we're guessing that Chuck Lorre, the guy who wrote it and created it, got his feelings hurt. Maybe misunderstanding, maybe somebody legitimate. Don't know. He's going to have to forgive him. But what he wrote into that story is exactly what we're supposed to be doing today. Don't let all the trappings of life stop us. Don't let deer hunting. Don't let basketball games. Those are things I'm going to be involved in, just so y'all know. Don't let this stuff stop what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I don't have time to stop and talk to somebody. You may save their life. I'll be 5 minutes late for practice. Tough. You just led somebody out of the gates of hell. Do it. It's worth it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did, Lord God, to first off offer salvation to us and open that door. But Lord, also in how he's helped our lives, how to overcome all the trappings of this life. Lord God, I pray right now that you help us. That first off, Lord God, we would judge ourselves. That we judge us before we go talking about other people. That we realize that the little thing that we see in their eye is a beam in ours. So, Father, I pray that you help us to recognize that and to address that. Help us to get away from our religious thinking on people. Lord, lead us into all truth and all righteousness. And when you open opportunities, Father, that we, our senses will be sharpened to take them and to capitalize on them. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them. Lord, I pray for those who are not here today, who are sick. Lord, touch their bodies, heal them right now in Jesus' name. Father, those who are discouraged, Lord God, I pray that they look up and see from where their help comes from. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.